Reporting from Cisco Security Intelligence Operations, this is the Cyber Risk Report. The Cyber Risk Report is a strategic intelligence product created by Cisco analysts that highlights current security issues in mid- to long-range perspectives. The report addresses seven major risk management categories, including vulnerability, physical, legal, trust, identity, human, and geopolitical. This report covers the time period of November 26th through December 2nd, 2012. Vulnerability activity for the period was decreased. Similarly, the activity levels for November 2012 decreased significantly from previous months in 2012. This is typical for this time of year, as activity levels tend to decrease approaching the end of the year. Vulnerability activity for 2012 is significantly higher than 2011, with a total of 5,916 alerts compared to 4,938 at this time in 2011. This year has reversed the trend of declining vulnerability activity levels with an increase of 19%. While end-user system updating and patching has become tightly automated and easier for users to maintain, the combination of the virtual and cloud environment changes, along with the significant increase in patch and upgrade volume, has seriously challenged IT and security staffs. Organizations will likely need to review and make major changes to their vulnerability management practices to address these changes. Significant activity for the period includes a Samsung printer hard-coded default password, multiple vulnerabilities reported in Skype, and security updates for Apple QuickTime and Google Chrome. There are reports of a new Java vulnerability that impacts current versions and is available for sale in underground communities. While details of the Java vulnerability were not released, users should continue to ensure that their Java installations are updated to the latest versions and consider additional mitigations, such as removing Java if it's not required and disabling Java capabilities in their browsers. Spam and phishing activity continues to increase, with 51 threat outbreak alert updates during this period and reports of new and updated variations on previously reported themes, electronic transactions, package shipping and tracking, bank alert confirmations, order notifications, and travel spam. New fraud attempts were identified that exploit the release of Microsoft Windows 8 with fraudulent offers for free software and software updates. As discussed in the online shopping topic in the human section, during this time of increased online and fraud activity, users should ensure they've updated antivirus software, enabled the reputation and other security features in their browsers and email applications, and remained cautious of potentially malicious email messages and websites. Organizations, particularly financial institutions, are advised to continue to closely monitor for distributed denial-of-service attacks. The groups conducting these attacks have stated the attacks will return following the pause of the attacks for the Muslim holiday. A recent interview with a reported member of the group has stated they'll return to conducting these attacks in continued protest of the posting of the anti-Islam video movie trailer until the video is removed. On an administrative note, the Cyber Risk Report and its podcast will not be published on December 24th or 31st, 2012, due to the holidays. We'll be returning to publishing the reports and podcasts on January 7th, 2013. IntelliShield published 90 events last week, 53 new events, and 37 updated events. These alerts are available via the IntelliShield Alert Manager service. Visit www.cisco.com/go/IntelliShield for more information. Moving on to the physical risk management category. Recent reports of thefts from locked hotel rooms with no apparent signs of forced entry have been linked to vulnerabilities in Onity hotel room door locks, first reported publicly in July in a presentation of Black Hat USA 2012. The presentation identified multiple vulnerabilities, the ability to open the door, the lock is securing from the outside, access to the complete memory history of the device using an access port at the bottom of the outside casing of the lock, and a predictable memory address for the site code, a 32-bit code randomly assigned by the manufacturer, which uniquely identifies a hotel property and is used as the basis for the entire security of the lock. Using these two vulnerabilities in concert made it possible for an individual using commonly available parts to access and decode the memory history of the device and open the lock. As surmised in the July 23rd through 29th, 2012 cyber risk report, subsequent to the original presentation of Black Hat, the exploitation technique has been refined and enhanced by the security community to be significantly more reliable, and is reportedly able to open the majority of the affected Onity locks. Onity has issued several fixes for the vulnerabilities, including physical caps to cover the data access port, so the port is accessible only by opening the lock case, more secure torque screws to secure the lock case, and new circuit boards and firmware updates that are available for customers, reportedly at a nominal fee. The author of the original presentation has questioned whether the fixes by Onity completely address the vulnerabilities. Due to the large install base of these locks and the challenges presented to property owners and managers to implement the fixes, the likelihood that the vulnerabilities will be addressed in a timely manner is questionable. Travelers and guests using hotels employing these locks should remain aware of the threat and are urged to contact their hotel management to determine if the property uses these locks and whether they've been fixed. Travelers and guests are also urged to employ additional door locks or security mechanisms when staying at a facility employing these locks, and to take additional precautions when securing property on the premises. And next in the legal risk management category. For the second time on Facebook, users were posting copyright notices on their walls and advising others to do the same. The copyright statements declared that the user's contents and photos on their pages are the property of the individual, copyright protected, and could not be reused without the individual's permission. Many users continue to post these very legal-sounding posts on protecting Facebook content and to distribute the postings to their friends. While the copyright, trademark, and patent legal issues continue to be redefined and challenged in court cases, it's not surprising that many users do not fully understand these legal terms. However, it's critical that business, IT, and security professionals understand them and monitor precedent-setting legal cases involving these protections. In the case of the Facebook posting, legal experts nearly unanimously agree that these copyright postings have no legal impact because the users have agreed to the Facebook user license, which allows Facebook and other users to share and distribute their content. However, it does raise the important point of understanding these legal terms and definitions to not only protect organizational and individual intellectual property, but also to avoid legal issues around the challenged or legal use of others' copyright, trademark, or patent property. As we've seen with many recent legal cases challenging these definitions across the globe, professionals should consult their legal teams for current guidance involving these protections. To further support the importance of having security professionals understand these terms, you'll likely see them in certificate training and testing. And next in the trust risk management category. The European Network and Information Security Agency released a report examining operational and legal issues with European computer emergency response teams in the member states and law enforcement agencies. The report details several of the issues in detail, discusses changes that have been implemented to address the challenges, and provides practices and recommendations that apply not only to the European organizations, but also to those across the globe. The report findings, presented as a work in progress to address the issues, points out not only the legal and operational issues, but the underlying trust and human issues. The report found that the initial mindsets of the CERT and LEA organizations are very different, which continues to impact coordination and cooperation throughout investigations and responses. The Good Practice Guide provides professionals in both these types of organizations an insight into the other's operations and describes how they can address or work around the differences. While many of these types of reports and organizations have attempted to address these sorts of issues with policy, procedures, and organizational changes, few have taken or presented an examination of the underlying trust and human issues. Understanding these basic differences provides a greater insight into developing the successful working relationships all these organizations are attempting to accomplish. And next, in the identity risk management category. Following Apple's actions earlier this year to disallow applications on mobile devices from tracking users using unique device identifiers, a similar and reportedly anonymous technology has appeared in the latest major release of Apple's mobile device operating system. Enabled by default, the technology can be turned off by the user on a per-device basis, albeit not as easily as would be expected. Balancing between privacy concerns and ad optimization in a manner which satisfies everyone, including government regulators, continues to prove challenging. Facebook is the most widely known case, having received unwelcome attention from a number of global governmental agencies charged with regulating and maintaining privacy for citizens. While Apple's approach has improved from the past, the manner in which it was implemented in iOS 6 seems more like Facebook, particularly for Apple, whose strengths are consistency and simplicity. At a minimum, Apple should state upfront that the ad tracking occurs by default and can be disabled, even if doing so is not presently intuitive. And this week, in the human risk management category, Cisco released a live broadcast interview with John Stewart, Cisco SVP and Chief Security Officer of Global Government and Corporate Security. From mobile to social and all the shopping that happens in between, John Stewart shared the information you need to stay safe online this holiday shopping season. John took questions and addressed everything from how to stay safe while shopping online, tips for securely setting up gifts you receive, and how to safely bring your new devices to work and school in the new year. The 30-minute recorded interview addressed several online shopping best practices, as well as current threats and ways to protect yourself through the holiday shopping period. The three primary threat vectors are spam and phishing, the web, and mobile. Users are advised to review the current IntelliShield threat outbreak alerts on the Cisco SIO portal for current spam threats. Users should ensure their browsers and application software are updated prior to shopping. One easy and automated method to do this is to use the Qualys browser check, which not only checks the browser for updates, but also looks for updates to related Adobe, Apple, and Java applications associated with web content. To avoid mobile threats, users are reminded that mobile devices don't include the more robust security features of an updated personal computer, and to use their personal computer for the majority of their shopping, ordering, and making payments. Mobile users should avoid likely vectors of malicious content by not following links in email, advertisements, or search engines, and by minimizing web surfing on mobile browsers. Mobile users are also advised to use only necessary and well-reviewed applications from trusted providers. And finally, in the geopolitical risk management category, last Thursday, all internet traffic from Syria to the rest of the world abruptly stopped, according to a variety of Western internet monitoring firms. Mobile phone services were cut in key areas where anti-Assad forces are strong. The government blamed rebel forces for the outages. The main airport road adjacent to Damascus was also closed on Thursday, probably due to fighting nearby, although it reopened Friday. According to Renesas, all 84 of Syria's IP blocks were unreachable starting on Thursday, and any remaining IP blocks going into Syria were hosted overseas. According to official Syrian government representatives, the outage was due to terrorist sabotage, although outside experts say it's unlikely that a terrorist strike could have brought down connections across the country almost simultaneously. According to analysis by content delivery network Cloudflare, the internet outage was probably achieved through updates in edge router configurations rather than a physical cable cut or series of cuts. It seems likely that the outages were a strategic move by the regime, loyal to President al-Assad, to cripple the Free Syrian Army's ability to coordinate military action and report the situation to the outside world. Recent experience shows, however, that cutting internet access may be tactically effective but strategically counterproductive. When Egyptian President Mubarak shut down internet and mobile phone communications during the February 2011 uprising in Egypt, the result was to redouble domestic and international outrage, while creative workarounds quickly negated the effectiveness of the outages. At the same time, as anti-Assad forces advanced toward Damascus, a turning point in the 18-month-long struggle may be at hand. Information security specialists may want to watch closely in coming days as Syrians and sympathetic supporters create workarounds, such as the voice-to-tweet system that allows users to create microblog postings via voice. We may also want to watch the strategic impact of communication outages on the political situation, as internet and mobile phone access move toward popular acceptance as basic human rights. This concludes the Cyber Risk Report for this week. To read the full report, visit www.cisco.com/go/SIO and select the Cyber Risk Reports link. Tune in for next week's report from Cisco Security Intelligence Operations. Thanks for listening, and stay safe.